you return with me for a few moments tonight before we give time for prayer, particularly for the work of missions and evangelism in this country, to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Psalm 126, a Psalm of Degrees. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious word. Just for a few moments, if you would turn with me again to verse 5 and verse 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Dear congregation, Peter said to our Lord, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It had been a long night, much toil. Much effort had been exerted, yet Peter would be faithful and would obey the Master's word. It wasn't long after that there was joy, for we read in verse 6 of Luke chapter 5, and when they had done this, that is, they had followed the Lord's instructions, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. That toil of the previous night was soon forgotten. That great effort that had been exerted and brought much pain was now forgotten, and a measure of joy was known in gathering in the fishes. A time of joy was there in the morning. Where we read here in verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A time of blessing following a long night of difficulty. Well, this psalm relates to some remarkable deliverance, a deliverance from a time of captivity. Now, a number have considered Babylon, but not all. Others point to some other time, some other deliverance from captivity. We can also think further, though, of a time of deliverance for the Church of Jesus Christ. A time of joy has come, as we note at the end of verse 5 and verse 6. Well, in this psalm, there is a looking back that's plain. It's believed this psalm was penned upon some remarkable deliverance. And so we read in verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. See, there's a looking back there. But also there's a consideration of the present and the future. Just come with me to verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. A looking back, but then a looking at the present. And that prayer, turn again our captivity. And a looking to the future, that there will be a harvest, a day of joy and blessing. Well, that's the background to this psalm, and let's come directly and briefly to verses 5 and verse 6 particularly, but we'll note also verse 4. And first of all, sowing in tears, and then secondly, reaping in joy. Sowing in tears and reaping in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now the psalmist is seeking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show that there is blessing after difficulty, after hard toil, after distress, there comes this blessing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They had known such a time. That's plain to understand. As you come to verses 1 through to verse 3, their prayer was for such a time again. In the late winter, the farmer goes forth to sow his seed. And it's cold, and the days have not lengthened out yet to some great extent. You know how it is in the late winter. You're still looking forward to the hot, long days of June and July. But there, the days haven't extended out to a great extent, lengthened rather, and it's hard work in the late winter. There's some distress as the farmer goes forth. There's some pain. Well, we're led to consider difficulties for the children of Israel in captivity. There had been a deliverance, as we've already ascertained tonight, but there was the present distress. There was hardship. And as a result, there was sorrow being endured by the people. There was the sowing in tears. They went about in what they had to do, and the tears flowed. They toiled hard as they sought to serve the Lord. And this was accompanied with many a wet face. They prayed, and often their eyes filled with tears. They did so in tears. The particular focus here is that they were seeking to serve the Lord in this distress that was before them. And there was pain within, there was sorrow, there were tears. Well, we can consider the Church of Jesus Christ. This is so apt for our situation in this country. Now, we can look back. We have known times of deliverance. You consider how it was prior to the Reformation. So dark it was. And then there was the dawn and the light of the gospel so shone in this land. And days of blessing in the Reformation and the Puritan era. And since there have been times of revival, and we can look back, there has been a deliverance and distress, but the present situation. We can look back and say there were days of great blessing, but our prayer at the present is this: turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Difficulties are before us. Now, just in passing, it's interesting, this psalm, isn't it? As you follow it through, you see here the history of the church in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. A day of blessing followed by a day of difficulty. A prayer for a day of blessing, and a day of blessing comes. It's how history has unfolded in the providence of God. Days of blessing, days of difficulty. We're experiencing the days of difficulty again in this nation, as the people of God. We'll consider the captivity. There was difficulty and distress, and it was hard to serve the Lord. Consider the present situation. It's not easy to be a Christian in this country. And you young people here tonight, it's getting more difficult for you, and we pray for you. It was hard enough in our day, but things are getting increasingly more challenging. They did so in tears. The people of God going forth today seeking to serve the Lord. No distress. They know long nights of toil, and so often it's fruitless. Oh, consider the situation today. Much opposition to the gospel. We witness it often, don't we? You know, I remember a few years ago, Dr. Joel Beakey was in Africa, and they came near to this village, and those with him, and including himself, were given the opportunity to preach the gospel. And 700 from the village and surrounding areas came to listen to the preaching of the gospel. Oh, what a day that would be if we went down Ringwood and 700 stopped to eagerly listen to the preaching of the gospel. But it's not the case, is it? We could count up in the hundreds over the years now, those who just passed by. We pity them, don't we? There's so much opposition to the gospel. Think of the new laws that have come in past years. How many of you, when you were a little younger, would have ever thought that the government would bring a new law in and redefine marriage in their eyes? You wouldn't have thought it, would you? But how things have come, and further difficulties, and further laws are being proposed, and it's all to bring it greater difficulty for the people of God. The storm clouds continue to mount up in this country. We look to a day when the clouds are dispersed, and our blessed Lord so comes near and rides prosperously, as we see in Psalm 45, and the arrows are going forth often, and there's the arrow of conviction, and then the arrow of love, and hearts are melted by his love. Oh, for such a day. But at the present, oh, the storm clouds have gathered. You know, sometimes you may be driving in the car, like we were on Monday evening, coming up from Muddiford. And there we saw these clouds mounting up, the storm clouds mounting up, and we're aware of that, aren't we? You only have to listen to the Christian Institute or some other Christian organization, and you through them can bear witness and testify of the storm clouds that are building up and reaching to such a height. The alert Christian is aware today of the storm clouds that are building. Some Christians in the country seem to be asleep or half asleep as the world has got their hearts, but the alert Christian is aware the storm clouds have built up this hardship. And unless the Lord turns the tide, greater difficulties will come before us here at Crosslands and in other faithful congregations up and down this land. That's what will happen unless the Lord turns the tide. And so it's our prayer in verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. It's our prayer, but we look to verse 5, and we look up to the Lord by faith, praying for a better day. Consider the mission field at this present time. In certain places there is great encouragement, but oh, there's been a great cost. I'm pleased to tell you that that pastor and his wife who were put in prison in China, the wife has been released over the last few days, but her husband's still in prison. Think of our brethren in North Korea in the concentration camps this night. Eritrean pastors and certain ones still locked up in those containers. And as we know by the reports of certain ones that have been released, like Pastor Ogba, there'll be pastors and other Christians in those containers tonight being abused physically, mentally, beaten, kept in chains. You know, we look back and we consider this slavery and how many were kept in chains in boats as they crossed the Great Sea. I think of those Christians kept in chains tonight for doing what we're doing tonight, worshipping the Lord. Oh, there's much sowing in tears. The word goes forth, but there are the tears. Let's be thankful the word is going forth. Now we consider in verse 5, generally, serving the Lord in a day of difficulty and looking to a day of blessing. But let's just open this up a little further. There's the sowing. Now this just summarizes serving the Lord, but we could consider, in light of the parable of the sower, the sowing of the seed, the word of God, particularly going forth, making known the scriptures, distributing the word of God. And we're thankful that still continues. And the Lord has blessed us here with opportunities to make known the word of God in this place. And we're thankful for what the Trinitarian Bible Society is doing in certain parts. Well, here we consider this sowing of the word in tears. This toil, this hard work in these days of sorrow. The word is preached, the word is distributed, a verse of scripture is given in these days of difficulty. They that sow in tears. And there's distress for the people of God in this nation, and will be increasingly so unless the Lord himself turns the tide. They are so in tears, they are sorrowed. Remember what we considered last Wednesday, Psalm 119, verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. The psalmist was moved. The waters, the tears came down his eye and down his cheek as he considered the opposition to God's word and the disobedience, the great rebellion that was before him. Rivers of waters. Oh, this toil, this sorrow. As we sow the word of God, yes, it's a privilege. But oh, we're confronted with the rebellion. We're confronted with the opposition. They that sow in tears now in passing. The work must continue in a day of difficulty. And we need to remember, like in Esther's day, the Lord has raised us up for such a day as this. He's chosen us to serve in these days. They that sow in tears, there's to be a going forth. Remember Peter, they had to speak. We ought to obey God rather than man. And that must be our consideration. To continue sowing, they that sow in tears. The minister goes forth and so does the missionary. And at times he has a full heart. As the gospel is preached, there's opposition. The unconverted look on and they go away and there's a hardness in the heart. Yes, he feels the work is great and he's conscious of his own limitations. But all these souls sowing in tears, the Sunday school teacher, the youth leader, the father and the mother who seek to serve the Lord amongst the children can know difficulties at times and are sowing in tears. All of us who are parents here, we've known what it is to shed tears over our children and over the other children and young people. Dear brothers and sisters, we're aware of the present captivity. But we sow on in tears, mindful that he gives grace. He gives supporting grace and strengthening grace. And remember this, he's not unmindful of our tears. Remember David, when he was as a fugitive, put thou my tears into thy bottle. He was recognizing there that the Lord considered and he could trust his difficulties unto him. The Lord is not unmindful of our tears. He gathers all the tears of his people here upon earth as they go forth sowing the seed, as they go forth declaring the gospel of Christ. He has not forgotten. And that's why we can look forward in faith. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He has not forgotten those pastors in Eritrea or in China who are in prison. He's not forgotten those missionaries who are in some jungle tonight, knowing difficulty and burden because there's so much opposition and they're weary. He hasn't forgotten. And let me tell you this, he hasn't forgotten us here as we sow in tears. Well, let's consider secondly, reaping in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In Psalm 30 verse 5 we read, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And we see that pattern again. And dear brothers and sisters, I am so thankful for this pattern we see in Scripture. Weeping, but then joy. And that's how it will be, will it not? Because one day we'll be in heaven, and all our tears would have been wiped away. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A season of sorrow, in verse 5 and 6, gives way to a time of joy. And how often we have seen this in Scripture and read of it in the history books and in the accounts that the missionaries have given. A few years ago, there was a violent storm, not unlike the one that was in the southeast last night, and the lightning just kept coming. And some of you may be able to remember that particular night. The lightning just came. And, well, I'm normally quite a brave person, but that night I went out to check that the car was closed, and I ran and I hid by the wall, went to the car, ran back to the wall, because the lightning just kept coming. But the next morning, there was the calm. The birds were singing. Dear brethren, there comes the calm. There comes the singing of the birds. Joy comes after a day of difficulty. Just note verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's God's word. So days of joy will be before the church of Jesus Christ. We can be assured of that. Now just notice verse 4. This prayer, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. This turning, think of the captivity, this distress, over a turning and a day of blessing and refreshing. And note these words, O Lord, as the streams in the south. The water arrives upon the parched land, and there is a time of refreshing. It seems barren in this country to some extent. There's a parched land. In Isaiah 32, a weary land. That's how it is, isn't it? But over a turning, the streams in the south, the water to come, the water of God's blessing, the influence of the Holy Spirit in a mighty way, the work of the Lord as the streams in the south. Now, a year ago this Friday, we were already into the heat wave. And as I hope to do this coming Friday, I should catch a coach up to London. And I remember as the coach got near Winchester, after a few weeks of the hot heat wave, the heavens opened and the rain came down. All the cars and the coach had to slow down because it was so heavy. The rain had come. I remember after preaching in London last time, I remember it well because there was the Trump demonstration in Trafalgar. I came out to the place where the meeting was and I walked to Trafalgar and all these mass protesters were there, and then the rain came and people just stood out in the rain and felt the blessing of the rain falling upon them after 2 weeks of the heat wave. A time of refreshing as the streams in the south. Oh, for refreshing. We're given a little indication, are we not, in Isaiah 35, in contrast to the Old to the New Testament age, a day of blessing. In Isaiah 41, verse 17, we read, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. There's the people, the poor and the needy, seeking water. Their tongue faileth for thirst. We're looking to the Lord, aren't we? O Lord, as the streams in the south turn again our captivity, we long for those days of refreshing. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. The Lord will do it. And I do believe we will be singing in verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The heathen will say it of the church, and we will utter it. The Lord hath done great things for us. and that the heathen, the ungodly, would recognize the hand of the Lord in the building up of the church in this nation. Isaiah 43 verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will make a way. A way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Refreshment, waters arise. God is able. And so we look up by way of faith. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy because of the Lord, who will bring the day of blessing, the waters of refreshment, the influence of the Holy Spirit, the tide turns. And dear brethren, in these challenging days, look to the day when the tide will turn. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God hasn't changed. How many captivities, as it were, has the people of God been through since these days of the psalmist? Many days of blessing. He's made a way in the wilderness. It's a barren land. It's like a wilderness, isn't it? The church seems small, the Lord makes the way. The Lord can do more than what we ever can think of. He can bring a river into a desert. And then there's growth. Oh, for such a day. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. In a hot summer, the farmer's waiting for the rain. The sun is scorching the soil and the crops. The farmer waits for the rain. He believes it will come. He's learned by experience that the rain comes. Let's be waiting for the rain. Not questioning, will it come? But let's be waiting for the rain, the waters of refreshment. And then comes this time of reaping and joy. Yes, there are the ones and the twos, and there's joy in our hearts, but all for such a day as in the harvest, and we must draw to a close. The joy of an abundant harvest. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The sheaves there. We're thankful for the ear of corn, one ear of corn. But here's a day when the sheaves are gathered and they're brought in, not just one, but many. Many are brought to Christ. Oh, what has happened in China? Who would have thought that this would have been fulfilled in China into the millions of sheaves brought in? But that's what's happened. There was such a barren day. And then the waters came to China. Yes, there's increasing difficulties. But all the sheaves have been brought in China. Oh, that the sheaves again, I say again, would be brought in this country. A great harvest. Think of the long hours prior to it. But on go the workers. All those long hours. But let's go on sowing the seed. We may not see it before our eye, those of us who are a little older. But you younger ones, you may see a day and you'll be like them. That dream, those long years gave way and God came and the waters of blessing flooded the land and many souls were saved and there was an abundance of harvest, abundant harvest, and chapels and churches were built up and down this land. Oh, for such a day of joy. Psalm 4 verse 8, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. A surpassing joy of a spiritual harvest is what we long for. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now it's interesting as we draw to a close. In this country, we're sowing in tears. But in some other countries, the Lord's people are reaping in joy tonight. And dear brothers and sisters, it's good to have these meetings, isn't it? When on our knees, as it were, we go to the whole world and we see what God is doing as a whole. Yes, we're aware of certain difficulties, but oh, in certain places there is such a hunger. We heard, did we not, last week or the week before? Despite all the difficulties, the church is flourishing in Iran. And what a blessing, the Lord willing. I was there in London on Monday, and we're given the time scale. And the New Testament should be printed by the autumn, the Lord willing. And how the Lord could use that, a faithful translation again for the Iranians. Oh, what the Lord is doing. And that's encouraging, isn't it? We pray for a day of blessing, and there are days of blessing in certain parts of the world. Oh, for such a day of blessing. Many are saved, found believing in Jesus and repenting of their sins. Yes, we're so thankful for the one that comes. The shepherd goes after the one. Oh, for a day in this country when the shepherd is so active, bringing sheep into the fold, one after another, each and every hour. We've not lived in such a day as that, have we? Where hundreds have been converted after a sermon. People flock in. In Watersham, I listened to an account of a certain lady a number of years ago. She wasn't very interested. But then one night, in the middle of the night, she knocked on the minister's door and said this to the minister, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, for such a day again, when there's knocks at the door. What must I do to be saved? Oh, to sow in tears, but oh, for a day of great blessing. Oh, for such days of reaping. Listen to William Carey. "I'm a dreamer and continue to dream of what can and will be, expecting great things from God, attempting great things for God." And notice how that great quote begins. Expecting great things from God. And when we consider the greatness of God, the truth of his promises, we need to have a great expectation this evening hour. Oh, to sow in these days, and expect a day of reaping. May the Lord help us to toil. May we have faith in God. And may we believe the promises of God for the church. And as Judson said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And I'm so thankful for that. It's not as bright as what I think it may not be at times, but it's as bright as the promises of God. So we're looking to the harvest again that the Lord will bring. There's harvest in certain parts of the world. May there yet be a harvest. May we know, or at least you younger ones know, a day of great joy when so many people are walking the way to Zion. Amen.